Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast, This Week in America. The Gentle Hell by Karen Bishop is based on three women who work undercover for the FBI to expose the cults involved in child trafficking, child prostitution, and snuff films. Because they were raised in families involved in the occult, they have special qualifications and also understanding of the minds and hearts of people that find pleasure victimizing the most vulnerable and weakest. Their lives are changed due to all they become involved with during this investigation. Karen was born in Laramie, Wyoming. Over her life, she's been a teacher, social worker, child abuse specialist, and author. Karen Bishop, author of Gentle Hell, is our guest on This Week in America. Karen, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to have you here to talk about this book, and I'm reading reviews, and the reviews are excellent. In fact, people are saying, we want more. Is there going to be a sequel? We want more of this story. I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but are you working on another book?
Yes, I am. I want to continue the story of the three agents, but I want to draw on the personalities of the other people that are involved in it. So, yeah, I am. It'll be kind of a follow-up. But Gabriella, the girl that was rescued, I want to bring in the process that these people go through after they're out of it and what it takes for them to have a normal life.
So important. You've done such an excellent job in the portrayal and bringing these people to life. And that's going to be, we'll start with good news for the readers that are anxious to find out if there's going to be a sequel, and there will be a follow-up to A Gentle Hell. Our guest on the program is Karen Bishop. If you're Googling, that's K-A-R-A-N. Her website is karenbishop.com. You'll find the book at Amazon, the usual places. Go to our website, link directly to Karen's website, KarenBishop.com. Where did this idea come from, Karen? What was the inspiration for writing this book, A Gentle Hell?
Well, it's something I've been thinking about for many, many years. It came from my work experience, my background. People I worked with, the training I had as a child abuse specialist, things like that. And I began to see that people need to be more aware of the human side of this. And that's why I wrote the book, was to try to make these people live and make them real and help you understand that they're just like everybody else. They could be the person next door that has been through this, and to give those kind of people role models of people who have found victory in their life after this.
Well, you bring the characters to life, and we have an understanding of who they are and what they're going through, which obviously will be continued in the next book. But this book, A Gentle Hell, does a really good job of telling an amazing story and bringing the characters to life, maybe unfolding an area that we've heard about superficially but really don't know that much about. It comes alive in Karen's book, A Gentle Hell. You mentioned the background that you've had, and I talked about that, the social work child abuse specialist. Are some of these characters based on people that you've known, you've dealt with in your professional life, or not?
No, I don't use people as such. What I do is I use the situations and the personality, the complex personality that many of these people have. And I try to incorporate that in that. But as far as using actual people, no, it was more complex than that, trying to get all that in the book. But I have worked with people that were a lot like that, people I really admire. And more people need to know they're out there.
Well, you bring that to us. I want to talk about developing the characters, because it's really crucial to the story behind A Gentle Hell. You've got the the three girls that I talked about in the beginning, and we'll talk about them a little more in depth as we go through. But talk about developing these characters. How challenging was that to give each their own distinct personality, their story to tell, development during the course of the story, and then carry on the story? I would think would be involved, and you'd have to take notes to ahead of time. In fact, did you take notes ahead of time on the characters before you started writing the story?
I go into fantasy land, and before I ever put anything on paper, I develop a whole backstory for each one of the characters.
Yes.
So by the time I start writing, they're like real people that have been through these things, and then I take them, I put them on paper, and I say, okay, where would they go from here? How would they handle this? So pretty much the characters are already there in my mind, and I really don't write anything down. I just kind of file it away in my brain. I find sometimes writing things down, I can't really get the depth of the feeling that I'm trying to get, so I don't write it down. I guess it's more an emotional process, you know.
Well, because it is, how difficult is it to, or challenging is it for you to stop writing or thinking about it? These people in your mind are real characters. You can close your eyes and see them. Maybe you don't even close your eyes and you can see them and you can sense them and you feel their presence. I would think it'd be very difficult at the end of the day to say, okay, I've got to go to bed now. I've got to stop thinking about this. Or something comes up in real life and it's like, I can't write anymore. How difficult is it to leave these characters behind?
I think because of the kind of work I've done, it's probably easier for me, because I know I have to lay it down and walk away from it, or I can't do a good job of it. I can't carry all of those emotions. They're not really mine, you know. And I have a lot of things I like to do. I'm an avid reader. I do photography. And what I do is I use the same process I did when I worked in that area. You take yourself away from it, and you teach yourself not to think about it, because if you're always thinking about it, it becomes too personal, too emotional, and you're not going to make good decisions.
And you've been involved in occupations like that, professions like that throughout your life. I mentioned teacher, social worker, child abuse specialist. Is that a key to success in those areas, is to know when, okay, you've got to, for your own sake, your own emotions, you have to shut down now?
Yeah, for your sake and for the sake of the people, when you're writing a book for the sake of the characters, you have to walk away from it, because if you don't have a healthy perspective on what's going on and you can't be objective, you're going to do more harm than good in doing these things.
Karen Bishop, our guest on the program. If you're spelling Karen, that's K-A-R-A-N Bishop, B-I-S-H-O-P. Her website is karenbishop.com. Book available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, pageturner.us, all of the places. And we've got links for all those on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Where do you get the information and ideas for your books? In particular, A Gentle Held, you mentioned before, putting the book together. A lot of research goes into what you do?
A lot of it is experience, training. I had a lot of training when I started in this field. A lot of it is research I do, because I need to know what's going on now, not 5 years ago or 10 years ago when I was working in it. So I do a lot of research in that. And I also tap in, there are a lot of really good organizations working with these people. And if you can tap into what they're doing and what they're using and how they're using it, it really kind of rounds it out, because it's a new field. It's something people don't talk about, and they're out there. You just have to know where to find them, you know. And that's how I do it, and I do a lot of research.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned things changing. Have you seen changes in child trafficking, for example, child prostitution, from when you were dealing with it on a daily basis, maybe when you first came in touch with it 5, 10, 15 years ago? Has it evolved? Has it changed as they try to stay ahead of law enforcement and shutting them down?
Oh, yeah. And technology has helped them a lot, because they have. It's changed a lot. It's become more common. It's become more brutal. It's become a bigger and bigger business, and that's what it's about, the money. It's something that I don't know you could ever stop, but if people are aware of what's, like when you see something happening on the street with an adult and a child, and you think that's not really right, but I can't see anything really wrong with it. If you realize what you have to do is run with what you feel in your heart, what your mind is telling you, and try to stop some of this before it starts, because this whole idea of grooming children is like a big business. It's it's lots of money to groom these children, to bring them into this. And a lot of people don't understand that because they're never exposed to it. You know, it's not something you see happening.
And grooming is a relatively new term. I've been familiar with it and talking about it on programs over the last few years, but it's a relatively new term. In fact, this whole concept, years ago when you would mention child trafficking and prostitution and grooming, you'd probably get looked at like, what are you talking? That doesn't happen in real life. But it does happen in real life, doesn't it? And are people now paying more attention than they used to this problem?
It's more common because you see the whole... This whole business is so much better organized. It's so much bigger. It has, social media gives these organizations, these traffickers, access to literally any child that taps on some of these. And that's why it's so important where, they tap on a site. You can't be sure. And I think it's unrealistic to expect anyone to police the whole internet to stop this. I think it would be good to have classes on this in clear from primary up, the way we do with child abuse.
Yes.
Books for children from preschool up, helping them, training them to recognize these things.
Are we beginning to lean in that direction? Your background, part of that is child abuse specialist, and that's really something that we pay close attention to now. We watch an interaction between a parent and a child, a neighbor and their child. Are we beginning to take that that sense of looking and questioning to the areas of child trafficking and child prostitution?
I think so. I think people are becoming aware. I think a lot of the issue now is not caring. They just don't have time. People are so busy.
Yes.
When they're coming and they're going and they're in public areas where you would see this happening, they're so focused on getting where they need to go that they're not aware of their surroundings. And that's pretty typical. I mean, when you're really in a hurry and you're under pressure, it's hard to stop and look around. But when you do, be aware, this is a different world than it was when I worked child abuse, because everything is speeded up. The internet, all of that. The world is just moving so fast, and it's not nations, it's international. And that's one thing we need to understand. This isn't like happening here and separately over there. It's a worldwide thing, and there's a lot of power in that. And that's what we have to equip our children to deal with this. We have to make them comfortable with talking about what they're going through.
The book so we're talking about, finish that thought because it's so important. Finish that, please.
Well, just we need to make them comfortable if they feel uncomfortable with the way people approach them.
It sounds
kids
simple.
Have a lot of, yeah.
Yeah, kids are more aware, aren't they, than maybe we give them credit for.
Yeah, I think so. And I think kids are a lot smarter than we give them credit for a lot of
times. They've grown up a lot faster than we have and seen a lot more than what we have. Our guest in the program, fascinating conversation, is Karen Bishop. She's the author of A Gentle Hell. This book deals with three women who work undercover for the FBI to expose occults involved in child trafficking, child prostitution, snuff films. The book is doing exceptionally well. We find out that there will be a follow-up book at some point from Karen. You'll find all the information on our website, karenbishop.com. Book available at pageturner.us, Amazon, all of the usual places. Let's talk a little bit more about the creating the main characters. How did you go about creating the characters? Basically, the three women that are primary in the story and then all of the surrounding characters. Talk about the development that went into the characters and the overall plot line.
Well, when you work in a field like this, you're working with a certain type of person. Most of these people are natural rescuers. They're very dedicated and selfless because this isn't something you're going to get rich doing, and it's hard. It's a hard job. And I built my characters with those things in mind. The idea of the type of person that will dedicate their life to doing this kind of work and the complex reasons. Many, many of them are survivors of abuse. And they have a desire to help children be healed and get out of this or to stop it from happening. So you're dealing with some really complex people. And that is the premises. You have to build the characters in this kind of story on is the kind of personalities that would go into this kind of work. It's not for everybody. It's kind of like being a doctor or a teacher. You have to have certain qualities, certain interests, certain desires. I would say many, many of the people are people that are have either been involved in it or have known other people that were involved in it. And that's what started them. So you have to kind of go on that premises when you develop these characters.
And they come,
realizing.
Yes. How they develop. And they really, they're in dangerous situations, aren't they? The closer they get to what the goal is, the more danger they're in.
Yeah, and you have to realize that they are people with scruples, values, and standards, dealing with people that have no scruples, values, or standards other than what they want. And those people are dangerous because if they can do what they do to children, you can be real sure that they would think nothing of killing an investigator or something like that. You know, it's a different mindset. It's the mindset of a criminal. And that's totally different than, you know, what you see. You can't, people that do this kind of work don't allow themselves to live in fear of what might happen because they can't or they couldn't do it. They have a dedication like a policeman that says, if I have to go out there and die in the line of duty to save somebody's life, then that's what I'll do.
And they the situations they're in. Again, we talked about this when you were a social worker and had to sort of know when it was to shut down at least temporarily. They really, this changes their lives, what they see, what they experience, what they are fighting against. That changes their lives, doesn't it?
Yeah, it changes their lives. It changes their values, their priorities, their goals. Any life-changing experience you experience does change you in a way, but when you're dealing with children who are, if you've ever investigated a child's death from child abuse, once you get done with that, there's a part of you that is aware of something darker than you ever before. It's like another confirmation of the darkness of some people's hearts. And it changes you, but it makes you a better person too, because you're more aware of other people's suffering. And I would do it all again, you know. I would do it all again if I could. And maybe more mature, I would do a much better job.
Well, you're doing part of that.
No, you have to care a lot about what you're doing.
Well, you bring that to writing, and that's what you are doing now and reaching so many people, probably so many more than you would have, otherwise by this book and people reading it. It may be captured by the story and the intrigue and the suspense and then realizing, wait, these are real people going through real life situations, and bring awareness, bring it that way. A few minutes left in the program. You're also working on another book. Now, Katie and the Wise Old Owl, is that out now, or is that being prepared for publication?
That's in publication, and that is a concept. I love writing children's books, but when I worked in child abuse, so many kids, there's so much dysfunction in our society, and my goal in writing Katie and the Wise Old Owl was to help children understand their place in a dysfunctional family with just one simple problem, parents arguing, and how that's not the kid's problem, that's the parents, it's their pattern. And that is something I would really like to do, is write more of those books, just dealing, making them fun, but helping them to see maybe what they're going through from a little different perspective.
And it's interesting because the book is designed for a young person trying to find maybe a place to go to get away from the constant bickering between mom and dad. It's good for the parents too. Maybe they don't realize, the children are listening and we're making an impression on them, possibly an image that will last a lifetime. It sort of puts the brakes on everything. It's from what I've read, it's very well done, and anxious to read that as well. That's Katie and the Wise Old Owl. You'll find information on that at Karen's website, KarenBishop.com. Before we leave tonight, you mentioned before maybe being more aware of our circumstances, especially in the area of child trafficking, child prostitution. When we see something that isn't right, briefly, what are some of the things that aren't right? And then what should we do about it? Especially sometimes we don't want to get involved if we're not sure what we're seeing.
Yeah, that's difficult, because it's not like you want to call the police.
Yes.
And make a, but if you see a child that is backing away from an adult, if you see a child who seems kind of tensed up, those are things you need to watch, because there's a reason that child is acting that way. If you see people, bus stops, kids walking to school, if you see cars going by over and over again, you want to watch those cars. You want to watch the people in them. If nothing else, just get the license plate. See if you can find out if they have a child in school. Those are all non-intrusive things where you're not making a big deal out of it.
Yeah.
You're just, and teachers are aware of this. You'll see teachers standing out when school's getting over, they know the parents, they're watching those kids. Anytime a child exhibits behavior that indicates they're uncomfortable or afraid, I just walked up to strangers before and started talking them to try to intervene and maybe just stop what's happening at that time. You know, it might be a parent that's really mad that's about to do something they'll be sorry for, something like that. But I would never say, you know, you need to call the police and do all of this, because a lot of these things aren't what they seem to be. But many, the ones that are, if you can just stop this from happening to one child, you know.
Yes. Sort of awareness, awareness and intervention. I mean, there's so many things. And it's just been a fascinating conversation with Karen Bishop, our guest on the program, K-A-R-A-N Bishop, B-I-S-H-O-P. The book is A Gentle Hell. The book available wherever books are sold, pageturner.us, Amazon, the usual places. All this information and information on Katie and the Wise Old Owl you'll find in upcoming books at Karen's website, karenbishop.com. Karen, the time has gone by so quickly. Hopefully we can do this again. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you for having me.
It has been our pleasure, and Karen's book is A Gentle Hell. Her website, very simple, karenbishop.com. Link on when you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, directly to Karen's website. You're listening to This Week in America, and we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.